Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Law Shit You Should Know with Alina Santana.
And Leslie Marenko.
And the amazing Juliana Lamardo today.
That Juju, would be me.
Also known as Juju.
I can sing Juju on that beat.
Juju on the beat. Is that a real song?
It is a real song.
Okay, go.
From where?
Go sing it.
It goes. Juju on that beat. Juju on that beat. Juju on that, Juju on that, Juju on that beat. It sure does.
Is that really all it says?
What year was this song? Was this before our time?
No, it was a few years ago. It's not that old.
It's not that old.
I will find it. And I will send it.
Okay. Maybe in the intro. Pause Juju on that beat right now.
Yes, we're going to put it. Yeah, we're going to put it.
Okay, pause for the sound. Juju on that, Juju on that, Juju on that beat. Okay. All right. Anyways, Juju, tell everybody what you do.
I am an immigration attorney, but specifically I deal with a lot of Cuban cases, Cubans with criminal issues, Cubans.
Oh, yeah, but other people too with criminal issues.
Yes.
The thing is that
with the Cubans,
I asked her what
they
she's
stay
doing,
here, right?
Let her talk.
They stay here. So then, years on the road,
criminal issues.
Years on the road, something comes up. The law changes. You can fix their removal orders or their deportation orders and make them residents again. So that's why I deal with a lot
of Cubans. I think this is a very, as a non-immigration lawyer, right? I don't think we ever understand that the Cubans could have a deportation.
Before we keep going, can Juju finish telling people what she does for a living?
So there's different kinds of immigration lawyers. There's the immigration lawyer that does court work and the immigration lawyer that does paperwork. Right? Not to be confused with notarios. Not to be confused with the paralegals that think they're attorneys.
Okay.
So I do a lot of court work. I do a lot of defense work. I do a lot of criminal waivers. I do a lot of Cuban cases.
So the Cubans can actually be deported is what you're telling me.
Well, everyone can be deported.
Okay, so there's a difference.
To where? No. Are we sending them back to Connie?
Okay, wait.
There's a difference. You can have an order of deportation, right? And be
which means
deported,
if I
quote
up,
unquote, right? Like if you come in front of me and I'm the judge and I say, sorry, I'm going to deport you.
I order you deported.
I mean, does that mean so you have to walk out of the courthouse?
No. Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
Most people do.
The biggest confusion people have about this is that when we tell people, you know, so-and-so was deported, that sometimes that means physically deported.
That's what I would assume.
And that's what everybody
assumes. Like, but
that's not how it
put
works.
On a fucking plane.
No.
There's a difference. The judge can order you deported, right? And most immigration lawyers would be like, oh, but were you physically deported? So there's two different things. You've been ordered deported because I gave you a piece of paper that says
you lost.
You didn't win your case for XYZ reason, right? And then there's the physical act of being deported. So Cubans, some Cubans, are physically deported. Now, going back, some people of other nationalities that get the order of deportation or removal, and then if you don't appeal, if you don't do anything else, you get physically deported.
Right. So one thing is the order that you get in paper, right? You lost your case. You do generally get... And
what
you,
does
you
that
can
paper
appeal.
Say?
You can appeal.
That paper says you got to leave the country in X amount
yes,
of time.
30 days.
30 days.
Oh. Or within those 30 days, you can appeal. If you appeal, then they have to create a transcript. So at that point, they'd hand it over to
they create it for you.
Internally. Internal court reporter.
But
that's only if you appeal. If you don't appeal, all you're going to get is that tape, my friend. And that's if you order the tape because you don't get it for free. Like,
yeah. Well, no. And
no,
now.
It's free.
So it takes you a while to read all these transcripts, right? And then you have to figure out, did the other attorney do a good job? Which
you know,
opens up a can of worms.
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020 too, you know?
It is.
Yeah. But sometimes you have to make that decision.
But trash. Okay, got it.
No, you have to make the decision as a lawyer. Like, do I go after the other lawyer too on appeal?
Oh, because is that something, got it, is that, well, yeah, I guess like in criminal stuff, particularly the ineffective assistance of counsel.
Absolutely,
well,
we have
so,
that too.
Yeah.
Immigration can get very complicated very fast, and I think people don't realize that when they either decide to take on an immigration case por la familia, por el amigo.
Let's talk about that. I think we have a lot of dabblers in our practice area, what I like to call dabblers, which
there,
are...
There are.
People who don't really know what they're doing and they think this is easy and it's just a form and anybody can fill out a form. And
here's how I explain it to people, right? There's yes and no questions on the form. If you answer, no, I have never been arrested, and the answer is yes, I have been arrested, because even an ICE arrest counts,
yeah,
right? You're now lying on an application which you swear to the truth and contents of the application under perjury. Now,
yes,
if you answer yes, and the answer is no, you're better standing. Because then you'd be like, well, you know, I wasn't really arrested physically.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I wasn't sure, I marked yes.
Right, I marked yes. Then you're oversharing with immigration, which is fine to overshare.
Interesting,
because
my normal, you
well,
know, default setting
let's clarify
is
what
shit.
I mean.
Like,
in those yes, no questions.
Don't need to say.
I'm with you.
Oversharing
but
with immigration could be dangerous.
Yeah, depends. It depends.
So everything depends. Go to somebody that you trust. Go to somebody that has a good reputation.
Okay, so do not go to somebody whose website does bankruptcy, foreclosure, divorces, and a little bit of immigration sprinkled in fucking between. Because
and criminal law. Yes.
And criminal law.
Yeah,
wrong.
Because
probably.
Because then it becomes harder for the fourth attorney coming
PC
in.
Fucking, like,
we have
probably
those problems too. It just, it's easier if you go correct the first way around.
Uh-huh.
Right? Great. You lose, no problem. Appeal, you lose, you appeal, and you just keep going.
No problem.
Listen, it ain't over until the alien wins. The non-citizen, I should
the
say.
The alien, but, what? Oh, the person.
Yes.
Yeah, all of our legal text is written with the word alien as
sure
the identifying person. It's not that
sure,
word
sure, sure
we like to use, but it's actually the word the government uses.
Well, yeah, but
they
now they're supposed
they,
to
they win or get deported? What's
well,
the other side of that?
Until you are not physically
you
deported.
You're not the it ain't
there's still another shot.
There's still another
the
shot.
Fat lady sings.
Okay.
That's
so even after you have the order of deportation, can you find love, Juju?
Yes.
And yes.
You
we want
are
everyone to find
love.
Love knows no borders.
Take my line. That's my tagline. You can't have my
I was giving you a shout out.
I'm obviously looking dead at you.
I'm giving you a shout out.
Love knows no borders.
So, okay, until you're physically
but only
present,
love with a citizen or a resident.
Claro. Obvio. Don't go falling in love with.
Or one that beats you and
you
then,
know,
you know.
Or one that beats you.
Well.
Wow.
Well.
That is true. That is true.
Hey.
Wait,
what
wait,
they're referring to
I was going
we
to
explain.
Now.
We gotta explain what we're
okay.
About. No,
so,
explain,
if
guys,
you get
yeah
abused by a resident or a citizen spouse, you file what's called the Violence Against Women Act. It's also for men, but it's something that gives you a benefit in the United States. Do people abuse it? Absolutely. Just like everything else, there's a huge amount of immigration abuse. That's one of them. But it's out there. But if you also get beat, you call the cops and then you file a U visa for victims of criminal offenses.
Including domestic violence.
Including domestic
yeah,
violence,
so
battery, strangulation. I love criminal stuff.
I think what the point is that there are protections in place for victims of crimes.
Yes.
And specifically with the VAWA rules, you know, there is some abuse going on, but not abuse that way. I mean, like, abuse of the
no pun intended.
Abuse
no pun
of
intended
the actual application.
Of the actual application process.
And people like to, like,
I mean, but I'm assuming
like
you gotta have
like
some evidence for this,
is
guys
your husband checking your text messages? VAWA. Like, okay. That,
no.
But
I'm saying,
before,
you know,
but
like, I always think of the standard. Like,
with
if everybody and their
husband
grandmother is filing VAWA petitions, then I assume the standard on the other end of who's, you know, who's reviewing these petitions goes, no, bitch, that's not abuse. Like, the fact that he
sure
blocked you
oh
on Instagram,
yes,
not abuse.
Sure.
Like,
there are people reviewing
right
these things. However, it takes an extreme amount of time.
It does.
It
does
is taking like three
years
or 4 years.
3 to 4 years.
Oh, but that's a matter of time.
But while
time
it's processing, you're here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
now, to
right
be real, abuse is not just physical abuse, right? Abuse
emotional
can very much be emotional and psychological abuse. No. There are a lot of people.
So what are you screenshotting the nasty text messages
sure
at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Why
like,
not?
Listen,
yeah,
bitch,
I mean
I'm going to have you deported.
Oh, wow.
Like, that is abuse.
That is actual,
right,
that is actual
that
abuse.
Is
that in
now,
I mean,
your rice came out shitty is not abuse.
Right.
Your rice came
you
out
cook
shitty.
You
no,
are
no
horrible
that
cook
might be a true story.
But listen, not to get real, but if you
yes
stop and think about the power that a citizen or a resident has over someone to be like, I'm not going to file your paperwork. I'm not going to let you get status. unless you behave or unless you do what I say or unless you act the way I want you to act. Like, that's a very powerful position to have over someone, their immigration status.
I think it's also important that you look at this distinction, right? Physically deported versus not physically deported. Because if you are in a position now where you have an approved VAWA, but you have that order of deportation, right now is the time to do it, to get your case reopened and things like that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You have an order of deportation, so you're supposed to get the fuck out within whatever days.
Yeah.
And now you filed your VAWA?
No, well, okay, pause. Let's say you didn't do it. Let's say you didn't get the fuck out.
Correct.
You said,
we're still driving around Miami, Kelly, no license. Yeah.
Here's the order of removal.
No.
Okay, see you next year. Bye. You know? Technically, the government isn't going to, for the most part, isn't going to come get you at your house to physically deport you. I mean, that is possible, but not likely considering the hundreds of thousands of immigrants we have that are out of status and deported. So unless you commit a crime or somehow bring yourself to the attention of the government later on.
So go hide.
It's hard.
Stay under the radar.
But
the point is that if you do hide, it's unlikely the government will come after you.
Well, let's talk about the list. Nobody in the DMV reads the list.
No, they don't know shit.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed to say.
I think we're not in the DMV list. Driver's licenses, but
no,
that's an immigration problem.
No, but that's a huge problem in immigration.
It is. It's the number
because
one airplane.
Oh, that they get stopped without a license because they couldn't get
that's
one.
That's why we're
running. Yes. Ah, full circle.
Yeah. Full circle.
Now, because people think that immigrants have all these criminal issues, blah, blah, blah. Number one way is traffic offenses. And I think DUI, which is serious, but DUI are actually the third on the list. The second is drug offenses. I looked this up recently. Drug offenses.
Why are you talking bad about my clients?
Why are you talking bad about my clients?
We want to talk about cocaine cowboys. We can talk about cocaine.
Oh my God, I love the cocaine cowboys.
We can talk cocaine cowboys all day.
No, I want to talk about marijuana.
Can we talk about cocaine?
Can I say marijuana?
We can talk about marijuana. Okay, marijuana.
I did say marijuana.
Yes.
Am I okay to say marijuana?
Marijuana is one of my favorite topics.
What needs to be said about marijuana?
Marijuana.
Do not plead guilty. No, what needs to be said?
As a matter of fact, Florida marijuana has had a huge change in the law.
Yes.
Really?
Versus federal law.
Yes.
March 2022. March 24, 2022.
I did not know this.
Without
looking it up. I thought Biden said, fuck it, everybody do what you want.
When it comes to immigration, you have to look at the state statute versus the federal statute, right?
Okay.
And
well, before you get to Florida, can I clarify something for us? Because we do have people who listen that are not in Florida. So let me pause you for a second, if you don't mind.
No.
She thinks that this podcast is going, you know, worldwide, baby. Worldwide.
We are going worldwide.
We're Mr. Worldwide. No, for real. Let's talk for real. So under immigration law to date, in marijuana, the use, the trafficking, the selling, the distribution, all of that possession is all illegal under federal statute. So even if you live in a state where it's lawful, okay, like totally
right.
Lawful.
And Colorado.
In Florida, recreational marijuana is not lawful yet, right? But let's say Colorado or Oregon, where everything is a free-for-all, right? Anybody can use it. It's still illegal under federal law. So we have clients, if you go work at a dispensary, for example, lawful job in a lawful state, and you're working at a dispensary, and you are not a citizen of the United States, anything but a citizen, you are now trafficking illegal drugs.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like we said
you
earlier.
You got a legal jobbity job.
And you can be deported.
Colorado.
You can be deported for that shit.
Yes.
Not just deported. It's one of the seven deadly sins with no waiver and nothing we could do about it.
But I thought, wait. So how does this play into Biden getting elected and going, you know what, we're not going to prosecute this bullshit anymore.
Right. So what's happened.
Whatever.
Let me pause you. They are still prosecuting it. The problem is that's on a federal level. However, obviously, the prosecution of marijuana offenses has declined as things have gotten legalized. And in some states, it hasn't been legalized like Florida, but it's been decriminalized. Where, like, in Miami-Dade County, where we live, it's a ticket. Like, getting caught with, like, a blunt or whatever, something small quantity, is a $50 ticket.
Have I been arrested?
No.
I click on the box? Is this a citation?
Now, wait. You know, the big problem is that this isn't a problem anymore for the reasons she was about to explain. So I stopped her. But before she keeps going, before this happened and changed, it was a huge issue. The decriminalization, in my opinion, was even worse than the legalization because what was happening is it's still a crime. It's only a $50 ticket. And so people would be like, $50. And they'd pay the ticket. And they didn't realize that paying a $50 ticket, you've now admitted to the use of a federal, like a federally listed drug that makes you a deportable offense. Huge issues over a $50 ticket in Miami-Dade County.
We still love marijuana, though.
Yeah.
So can I pay the ticket?
No.
And not
if you, you yourself as
you're,
a citizen,
you're
sure.
Than me, you're the
go.
Immigrant.
No.
Leslie, the
wow.
immigrant.
No.
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 Let's talk about that.
No.
Don't pay that. No.
Do
pa-
not.
No.
No. Pa-
no.
Pa-
no.
Pa-
Yama Alexander. No.
We got to give Alexander a shout out because he just
told
us that.
Yeah, we definitely did. Don't sue me. Don't sue me, Alexander, please.
We gave him a shout out.
No bias at ticket.
But we gave him
a
shout out.
Positive shout out for the record.
Yes.
Okay. So tell her why it's different.
Okay. So marijuana in the state of Florida is described as XYZ. In the federal,
whatever,
oil, plant, seeds,
the scientific,
the stem,
whatever the fucking scientific.
I don't know.
The smell.
About this shit. Like,
you know.
The leaves,
but,
though,
yeah.
Whatever.
So the federal.
The gummy.
No.
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 She's talking about the plant. What
I'm talking about actual marijuana.
Okay. I mean, but nobody's walking around with a plant, no?
You're growing.
Well,
plant.
You're growing plants.
Okay, but then you have a real operation going on.
Okay,
right.
Stop. What she's trying to say is the part that is illegal is the plant. And the plant has a scientific definition written into the law.
Okay.
And that scientific definition includes all parts of the plant that include the leaves, the stem, the seeds,
no,
the
fucking
the oil, yes.
Correct. Okay.
In fine. The state of Florida.
The chemical that comes out of the plant.
Yes.
Is in the fucking definition.
It is
the
in
oil.
The
state.
Yes.
Everything.
So, but in the federal statute, there's a few things missing.
Right.
What?
Let's say, for example, it's. We'll keep it very, very simple. The stem of the leaf.
That's not actually.
It's not actually what it says,
example.
But I'm giving
oh.
you the example.
Okay.
So when it comes to immigration, client, Cuban, deported, not physically, comes to me and says, Oye, me deportaron y estoy aquí.
Estoy aquí, yeah.
Pero era residente y me la sacaron. Something like that. They
yes.
took away my residency because I was growing plants in the state of Florida.
Without
so
step.
Then
okay.
my
grow house.
I had a grow house.
So
that's grow
very
popular
in Miami.
Listen.
There's lots of grow houses.
This has been argued since like 2010.
Yes.
This has been in arguments and arguments and arguments and arguments. Finally, we're at a point where if you come to me and says, I'm Cuban. I was a resident at one point. I have.
But I'm still here.
I'm still here. But I had
if
all
said,
these marijuana
right.
convictions in 893.13, 3, 5, blah, 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 right? 1, 135,
uh-huh.
893.135. I say, perfecto. Let's try to reopen this baby. And then you do a motion to reopen based
the
on.
The criminal case.
No, the immigration
no,
case.
The immigration case.
You're still going to have a conviction for the state.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless the state of Florida.
Changes
says marijuana is no longer an offense which we are going to be punishing folks over.
Okay.
Super quick question. Have you tried this for somebody that's abroad coming in?
I haven't actually.
I haven't either.
Case yet. But the point is that in this decision that she mentioned last year, 2022 decision, essentially was the first fine after we've been arguing this. I say we as the immigration bar has
yeah,
been arguing
yeah.
this for so many years after I think like 12 years or so arguing this. Finally, the Board of Immigration Appeals, which is our appellate board, finally agreed and said, great. Marijuana in the federal definition.
It was 11th Circuit.
Well, sorry, you're right. 11th Circuit above the Board of Immigration Appeals. And so in the 11th Circuit, we joke that the line is marijuana is no longer marijuana because our marijuana is not their marijuana. And so now we have a free-for-all.
So it has to, so marijuana has to equal the federal and it doesn't. So anybody with a marijuana conviction, no longer deportable, no longer inadmissible. If you're still here, motion,
you
got to
reopen
the court. You reopen the
case.
If you smoke.
This is a huge market.
It's a huge market.
It is
a huge
market.
Yeah, it's been a hot topic for about a year now.
But because the word marijuana is still quote unquote, not something you can say. Right? Like, you can't just go on Facebook and say, marijuana folks,
were you
call me.
Convicted of a marijuana?
Right. You can't say that because you get blocked on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't do a bunch of tickety-tock videos on this?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, it's still very controlled. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I did a great newsletter on it, though, and got some feedback. There are ways to get it out there, but a lot of people don't know.
It's
the
super word
of
mouth.
A lot of people don't know this. So, until you listen to something like this, you know, you really have no idea that this has happened. And it's a huge, huge thing. So a lot of what I have had is a lot of not just Cubans, but a lot of other cases of people who trafficked a good amount of marijuana. And we've been reopening those cases very successfully. So
yeah.
the fascinating thing about immigration law, I think for better or for worse, it's something I love about this practice and it's something I hate about this practice, is that it changes every goddamn day. Like, our lives are constant revolving doors of law. bless you.
Excuse me.
Like, sometimes it's like there's some presidential decree and there's a new fucking TPS. Or there's, I don't know, anything. It could be anything. Some policy change. Sometimes it's the case. Bless you.
Thank you.
It could be anything. Like, our lives change on a daily basis. Like, there was a federal law school lawsuit against DACA. There was an injunction by some court in Texas. And all of DACA is on hold until there's another decision. And then tomorrow there'll be amazing news and everything will be reopened. And our lives are a mad rush to file or a mad rush to freeze.
Isn't it funny though that all the important things come out always during your conference?
Always. Yeah, that's true. It
does. I think, I don't know. Yeah.
When is this conference?
February.
In February.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's fun. It's fun. So every year we get slapped with something different.
Yeah.
It also changes with the administration. It changes.
Sure.
It just,
we're at the whim of politics. We're,
yeah.
So, I mean, if you think someone who takes 3 immigration cases a year dabbling can keep up with this shit, all I have to say is immigration practitioners can barely keep up with this shit. Like, we can barely keep up. And we just,
and
like,
it's funny because sometimes we hear things from clients and they're like, oh, but so-and-so said this. And you're like, am I going crazy? Did I miss the news?
I mean, do you actually pay attention when they go to the ticket? I saw on the tickety talk.
We have to do that.
Of course I do. Of course you do.
Tickety talk is not law, bro.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, there's a ton of people on TikTok that read the news. And if it comes out in the news, then you have to be ready
like,
to talk
to... Oh, it came
to
out at 8 o'clock this morning and you're now hearing about it on TikTok.
Half the time we find out about something. Half the time we find out about something when CNN blasts it on the TV for everyone else.
At 11:39
at
night.
At 11:30 p.m. on a
when
Saturday.
I'm sleeping.
You know, like...
When I'm sleeping.
When I'm sleeping, man. Then I wake up and literally
you don't lie. We know you're partying to the
It was 9 o'clock at night when
I
was sleeping.
There's no, like, organized structure in our lives when it comes to the distribution of new policies and new whatever. It's like, it's pretty crazy.
So if you imagine a law that changes every 4 years where you have to change, like... Not the motto of your business, but how you handle your cases changes every 4 years.
Strategy
with
changes
every single president, it changes. Yeah. You know, during Obama, we had a good 8 years of just, okay, we're going to just be at peace for 8 years.
Yes and no, right?
I was like, what?
Because he did some decisions that were like, whoa.
So Obama, I think we should address this. There were more people deported under the Obama administration than ever before and ever since. Actually, I don't think Biden's administration or Trump's did a better job, did they?
I don't think so.
But my defense to that always is exactly what I just explained, which is I think the Obama administration did a good job of figuring out who should be at the top of that deportation list versus who shouldn't. And I'm not saying every decision was fair, but they at least tried to organize the system. Because if there's one thing Juju can agree with me on,
this system is a hot mess. It's the hot mess express.
The current hot
immigration
mess
has always been a hot mess. But, and... in my opinion, the problem is they don't know how to fix it. But they're also not listening to the people that have told them how to fix it. Because there's ways to fix the immigration system. It might not be the best, but if they would come down a notch and just talk to people that do this every single day, they can fix it. And, you know, when you look at immigration, it's fixable to a certain extent. Right?
The immigration system is so overburdened in our country.
Yes.
I mean,
I have hearings in 2027.
I got my first one for 2027. We already have scheduled hearings in 2027. I have two, I think, already in 2027.
Yeah, man. This
is
ridiculous.
You know, we're for anyone listening, I know this is going on in 2024, but we're filming at the end of 2023. So we're talking about 3 years.
Years.
Before you even get 4 years, before you even get a hearing.
So everything that we do rides on whoever is president.
Pretty much.
And then, you know, you deal with the federal laws for immigration and then you deal with state laws from whatever state you live in. Like in ours, like our clients are dead scared of leaving Florida, coming back into Florida.
Oh, now
which
with SB 1718.
Absolutely.
Which we haven't talked too much about, but in Florida we have SB 1718 and we're not the first state to have something like 1718 where it's now criminalized to transport immigrants across unlawful aliens across the border of Florida to other states. Now, that in theory sounds fantastic. Like, who's for trafficking? Nobody is for trafficking, right? Like, people read this law, like, yay, anti-trafficking. Yeah, we're anti-trafficking too, right? Like, no one wants
to. We're not for human trafficking.
We don't want people
trafficked,
you know? But that is a very shady way of calling this, because if I live on the border of Florida and Georgia, And, you know, if you've ever crossed the state line, there's not like a fucking border that you cross. There's no border.
There's
crossing.
No checkpoints.
There's
like, hey, welcome
like,
to Georgia.
You drive and there's a cute sign. Welcome to the Peaches State. You know, like whatever.
I think there is actually a sign, though.
That says, welcome to Georgia. Like, that's
right,
not a fucking sign.
But then
sign.
It doesn't say, like.
Wait,
where did you go on vacation that you had one foot in one place and the foot in the other place?
No, that was in Quito. I was in the center of the world at the 00 longitude line.
She Maybe I'm thinking of a movie.
It's fine. It's fine.
You can't be in two places.
I'm
at
kidding,
the
I'm
same
kidding.
Time. The movie with Mandy Moore in the stars.
I don't know.
That she literally puts one foot in one state and one foot in another state, and it's literally right down the middle. She's like, I am in two places at the same
time.
Oh,
yeah. Okay,
there's
so
some
you
movie.
Can do that.
Well, I digress.
The point is that this is not like a border checkpoint. And so if you live, let's say you happen to live right in the border between Florida and Georgia, like just that's where you live, right? Near Jacksonville, let's say, which is where that happens the most. And your Publix or your Winn-Dixie or your Walmart or whatever fucking store you're going to that day, depending on where you are, is 3 blocks that way. And 3 blocks that way happens to be Georgia.
Yes.
You are now transporting, let's say, your mom to there and your mom's out of status. You have now trafficked aliens unlawfully in the country across that border and are now have criminal penalties that can be imposed, not just on her, but on you for criminally trafficking her to the Publix across the street. Okay, it is absurd. Absolutely.
Get your
absurd.
Driver's license.
It is absolutely
This is
absurd
way beyond get your driver's license.
It's crazy. Another really interesting point is they have put some really severe criminal sanctions on employers employing people who are out of status.
The I-9.
The I-9 sanctions and all that. And so what's happened is that you've had, and if anyone's seen the news, it's been all over, all the agricultural and construction markets in Central Florida, especially, that have no employees. Because they've all left. Like, the fear is real. And
this affects everything.
It affects
the food
everything.
We eat.
Mm-hmm.
It affects produce. It affects jobs, obviously.
So there was a really interesting Pew Research study that found that there are actually 7 industries in the state of Florida that Florida would have a complete economic collapse if we actually got rid of all undocumented workers. 7 industries, and those included the agricultural market. That included
no
the
more orange
market.
Juice for you people.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah,
like,
Florida, no orange juice.
No Florida
we
orange juice.
We have a problem.
No sugar cane,
strawberries, etc. The
Not
construction
peaches,
market.
That's Georgia.
You gotta traffic people to get those peaches, baby.
For real. Apparently,
the construction market, the tourism industry, the hospitality industry. The waste management industry.
Dios mio.
So, like, good luck flushing your toilet and hoping it goes somewhere. No, I mean, I know.
That's definitely shit you should know.
No, for real. There are 7 in total. I don't even remember all of them. Those are the 4 I remember because they really stuck out to me. But they're the transportation industry was another.
Listen.
So what is the extent, and I don't know, this is sounding more and more like a constitutional issue to me. Like,
sure.
To what extent is the state of Florida allowed to start passing all these fucking immigration-related laws?
Well, because they didn't write it as an immigration-related.
But that was the purpose.
Yeah.
That was the purpose.
But the way they wrote it is what got them around
I put
that.
An undocumented immigrant in the car that I don't have a license to drive. And I drive them across to fucking get some peaches
you
in Georgia.
You like 5 crimes.
And I'm definitely going to jail, obviously, 100%. Like in this scenario. But like, I'm trafficking
yes.
someone across.
You are.
This is fucking wild.
It's
like,
fucking
that
wild.
Just doesn't,
right.
That is just, no.
It is and you are.
It isn't you
that's
are.
What
it no, isn't you
who
are.
Is suing
no,
the fuck
okay,
out of Ron DeSantis?
So that's what I was about to say.
To get Hold some on. Fucking logical, like...
Yes. So we do have our first test cases. There hadn't been any yet. Nobody had been batshit crazy enough to start enforcing these laws. Specifically, I'm talking about the trafficking one. But we do have our first 3 test cases. Juju was just telling me off.
I read online somebody searching for an attorney that handles this kind of case. And the attorney basically said, I know this is all new, but I need somebody to defend this person.
But there are 3. I know for sure before that, she told me off before we started the podcast. But I know at least 3 that are being litigated already. And that's exactly the kind of constitutional arguments that they are making. You know, it's basically stopping the free flow of people across, like stopping commerce.
Listen,
stopping
it just
all kinds
sucks
of
in general. It just sucks
Which
in general because you live in Florida and you're undocumented. You're living in fear. You want to come to Florida, you're in fear. You want to leave Florida, you're in fear. And it's just, it's not good for what Alina was saying. Like the other
not
industries.
Commerce.
Right. It's just not good in general. because
yes.
you're going to get
well,
stuck
like
with
I said, complete economic decline. If we actually got rid of all of our undocumented workers, it would be a complete, that is a statistical fact. It's not like there are so many people who work here undocumented that keep so many of our industries functioning. And we can talk all day whether that's right or wrong and how to fix it. But the truth is, it just is what it is. So saying, oh, we just don't want you here, bye, it's just not a solution. Because we would
no more orange
decline. like you would
no
have
more
to do houses or food. Like,
right.
It's absurd. You know? Our hotel industry would plummet. Like, good luck. You know, it's absurd. Okay, so we've been talking about the SB 1718 way too much. I want to switch to the other really big hot topic, parole.
Oh. And you two must explain what the fuck that means.
Okay.
Because to me, you're on parole. I know what that means.
Oh my god, dun dun dun.
Like, so what the hell is Cuban
parole? It's not a Cuban parole.
What's
parole?
Why
it's
am
just,
I always hearing about Cuban parole?
Because
parole.
Of the, remember what we said in the
your
beginning.
Your drug dealer client.
Stop it. Remember what we said in the beginning, the wet foot, dry foot?
Yes.
Okay. You wanna do it?
No.
All right. Wet foot, dry foot was specifically for Cubits.
Who put in wet foot, dry foot?
Who put it in?
Oh, man.
That's
who
a great
okay,
question.
Okay, who cares?
Listen,
know.
All
what
I know is that.
Harder? I don't even
like,
know.
Like fucking
Kennedy
listen,
or some
way
shit.
Before
all right,
we
moving
were
on.
Born.
Moving
like,
on.
Moving on.
The Cuban Adjustment Act itself, right?
This sounds like an After the Bay of Pigs shit show. Kind
it
of
was 1966.
Correct.
I wasn't born then.
Okay.
Correct. Okay.
For clarification.
For clarification, I was not born then.
All right.
I have no idea who put it in. I have no idea. All I know is that at certain point after 1966, because the Cuban Adjustment says, if you've been admitted or paroled, that's where the words come from. Then if you're Cuban, you have a year and a day, you're good, you're here. Perfect. You get residency. If you apply.
This is you apply for a residency.
Under the Cuban Adjustment.
Under the Cuban Adjustment Act. Which is a special law that was put in place after the revolution to aid the Cubans that were fleeing communism.
In 1966.
Okay. Which is still in place.
Which that one's still in place.
Now let's talk wet foot, dry foot.
Now, wet foot, dry foot means exactly what it sounds like. If your foot is wet and you're still in the water, you don't get paroled.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay, but if your foot could be wet on the land.
No.
What but
they
if you
mean
it,
is,
yes.
if you're still
you,
on
you
wet.
You made it, bro.
If
you,
you
made
it,
West.
That
Got
means
it.
That you're dry.
Yes.
If you put your foot on dry land, that means that ice, when they came to get you or CBP.
Could not throw you back in the ocean.
Could not
it.
Throw you back in
it.
The ocean. And they would give you a document that said, you have been paroled. Basically,
oh,
they gave you una tarjetica blanca.
Correct.
Right. A
you
little,
made it. You're okay.
A little white card that says parole under Section 212D5
of the Cuban Adjustment Act.
No,
absolutely not.
212D5 is under the INA, the Immigration Nationality Act, and all it says is you've been paroled for humanitarian reasons.
Basically,
which, when this was created, if you think of the historical moment in time, all the Cubans were fleeing. Picture like the Balseros, right, coming on their rafts. If your raft made it to land, you got paroled.
Look how we're all swimming.
You got paroled. This reminds me of like, you remember the opening scene in Scarface where all the boats are like flooding onto Miami, you know? That's kind of what it was. And so if you made it to land, ICE would parole you in under this section of law and say, like, here's your piece of paper.
Parole.
You get to stay. And in a year and a day, you could take advantage of the Cuban Adjustment Act, which was a separate law that said you can apply for a green card because you've been paroled
so
here and you've been here for a year.
So the my green card after I've been
correct.
Dry for a year.
A year.
And
a
day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except.
That's
all
how those
are.
Two things go together.
I there like you go. It. So the parole, the statute itself, just means you've been given a document that allows you to come into the United States.
Lawfully. So your entry was lawful.
Your entry was
lawful.
Because I love
being her friend. That matters.
That does matter.
Okay.
That matters 110%.
Okay.
Right? What's happening currently after the wet foot, dry foot came is that the Cubans would come and they would be deemed entering without inspection. Right?
Which means they weren't being paroled.
They weren't
this
being
is all
paroled.
Under the Trump administration post. So Obama's one of Obama's last standing acts is he ends the wet dry foot policy.
He's like peace bitches.
He's like peace bitches. And then Trump comes into power, for lack of a better term, the next day, right? Or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
The next week, because it was literally the last week Obama was president. And obviously he doesn't make it any fucking better. And so essentially ICE is given directives internally to stop paroling people generally.
Yeah.
Don't give them la tarjetica blanca.
Right. Right, but the law hasn't stopped. That the law of
the Cuban adjustment
or
and the 212D5.
The Cuban adjustment has not been abrogated.
Repealed.
Settled,
yeah.
Whatever.
There's no the law is still there. You can still parole people and you can still adjust under Cuban adjustment of the year and a day. None of the laws have been changed. All that have been changed are the policies on how ICE processes these people, because that's what the presidency and the administration can direct. They can't change congressional law, but they can change how ICE is processing.
But if you don't give me my tarjetica blanca, what am I supposed to do?
That's where we come in with
the problem.
Hence
the problem.
Hence the problem.
Just in limbo for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to go either the asylum route.
Right.
As a Cuban?
Yes,
sure.
Ma'am.
I've been doing a lot of Cuban asylum cases the last 8 years.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of them.
Yes, ma'am.
I do tons of them.
And then what happens is you have an insane amount of people here overburdening our system, which easily can be solved if you grant parole to all these people,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a lot of issues that come out of it.
Sure.
Why is it a hot topic right now? Is because there's attorneys arguing certain specifics of the law, right? Immigration has more laws than any of us know, right? There's laws that are embedded into laws. It's just a lot to keep up with, like we were saying earlier. Immigration judges, you have several different kinds. You have the immigration judge that goes out on a limb and says,
Yes or no.
I'm going to do what I do.
Parole is parole.
And you can appeal
or
me.
Or parole's not parole.
Right?
Not parole.
The other ones that say, you know what? No.
I'm an employee. Until somebody tells me that my no is wrong.
Right? And then the ones that will go like this, they'll sit back and they'll be like, bueno, you guys can file it all out.
Not for me to decide.
I have a hearing date in 2028 available. And we'll figure it out then.
Yeah,
they
might kick it off my calendar until another year.
There'll be an appellate decision before 2027.
Yeah, but there hasn't been anything that good that has come out in our favor.
Meanwhile, these Cubans are in limbo.
Well, so a new decision came out very recently.
That is no bueno.
It is a terrible decision for Cubans, basically saying parole is not parole. They're not legally.
Beige is not white.
Correct. Beige is not white. That's correct. And so it's been a negative decision, but there was. It's messy. The decision is very badly worded. There's still some context in there to make some arguments. And this is only the Board of Immigration Appeals. And it's not a final decision because it was actually a remand for a new decision to the lower court. So we can't even appeal it and see what happens in circuit court. Like there's or in eventually Supreme Court, nothing. So this is getting remanded for a new decision at the lower level. And then there'll be a whole host of appellate stuff that happens again. So
okay.
Now we're in a negative space. With this, which is why it's such a hot topic, because this negative decision.
But in another way, when you do it affirmatively
mm-hmm.
with USCIS, some people are getting parole in the mail.
Some getting approved,
which makes no sense to anybody.
So,
I mean,
USCIS is
you
a
get
separate,
that in the mail.
Hold on,
yeah.
USCIS, which is U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, is a separate entity from EOIR and the Executive Office of Immigration Review. EOIR is the defensive court side. USCIS is the affirmative benefits side, immigration, where you file for citizenship, things like that. Before
right?
all of this happened with the appellate courts, USCIS had taken the position, not officially, but they seem to be taking the position that parole was. Okay.
So apply after a year and a day.
So they started approving them. And then all these judges came out and some agreed and some didn't. And then there was a settlement that was made with USCIS at some point too. And so now sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. And the best advice we give clients is like, fucking try.
Try.
Because if you get denied,
why not?
All you've lost is time and money and energy. That's it. Like there's nothing else to lose. You're in the same position you were when you started if you get denied.
No harm.
No harm, no foul. And in the meantime, everything is a hot mess and there'll be more decisions and it'll take
but they get their permiso de trabajo.
But they'll get a permiso de trabajo, you know.
Which is what they like.
And everything
else.
And a driver's license.
If this story isn't the epitome of what has happened with Cubans in the last 8 years and what our practice is like every fucking day, I don't know what to tell you. This is just Cubans. We can have this conversation about every part of immigration law. Let's talk DACA, where we can talk about federal injunctions and how that shit changes every other fucking day about who applies and who can't apply and who can't renew and who can't renew and where you send it and who you send it to and...
Oh, that changes every day. You send documents changes every single day. So if you don't check the 5 minutes before clicking yes to USPS,
you might be sending it to the
wrong
place.
You might be sending it to the wrong place and then it gets rejected.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So this is, I think, one perfect case example, like
yeah.
Cubans and parole, of what the fucking shit we deal with every day, frankly.
Now, if you are paroled and you're not Cuban, find yourself a honey.
Because there's no adjustment act. Because
there's
you.
No Cuban adjustment.
Right.
But you got a parole.
Right.
But so you got a lawful entry.
But you can adjust.
Same as
so
you enter Jimbo forever?
Same no,
as, no,
you can adjust. You can adjust.
Same as if you enter with like a tourist visa and you overstay. Like, go find yourself love. We're back to the love conversation, which is why love knows no borders and you got to find love in the U.S.
Ooh,
yeah,
hashtag.
Love is a difficult thing, guys. I don't know.
Love's not that hard.
Love is not that hard when.
So hard for me.
Love is not that hard.
Love is all you need.
Oh no.
I didn't know this was a singing show. I would have come ready. If you are in an immigration situation, my closing point is you gotta have good legal advice.
Okay.
You have to have a good team behind you.
Right.
If you're gonna go the cheap route, you're going to F yourself over. You really are.
You can
okay?
say fuck, we curse on this.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
you're gonna fuck yourself over.
Yes.
Like just
oh yeah, some of these notarios aren't cheap, bro. I don't think cheap is the problem.
Yeah, but no, but some of these notarios can mess you up so
for
hard
sure.
that
they're not lawyers, they're not licensed to practice.
Right. And
they have no responsibility when shit goes sideways. You can't go file a bar complaint against them. You know, like it doesn't happen.
And unlicensed practice of law, the Florida bar can go up and down 8th Street and still not have enough defense. You know, there's a million of them.
But I like
so,
what you said about patience, though, and I'm sorry, but I don't want you to let this go.
No, you have to have patience.
I actually very much agree with that because sometimes, because our practice changes so frequently, sometimes the best advice you can give, and I'm sure you will agree, is either do nothing.
Wait it out.
Or wait it out.
Wait it out.
Or let's file something.
Don't get arrested.
Your hearing is in fucking 2027. I have no idea what's going to happen between now and 2027. Maybe Trump will be president. Maybe Biden will be president. Maybe fucking Kamala will be president for all we fucking know. I don't know. But between now and 2027, the only thing I can tell you in immigration law is it will change four times over before we get to 2027.
I can't be president because I'm not a born citizen, so I'm good.
We,
you know, like,
now we know you're not Cuban
but
either.
The point is that sometimes the best advice
is patience.
Is patience.
Patience
and,
is a good thing
and that's,
in immigration.
That's really hard, though, because you tell that to clients and nobody wants to be told that. Nobody wants to be told, oh, my best advice is let it ride for 4 years.
So, like, you're,
and you're like,
okay.
What the fuck? I want to get my shit together.
Because you're not
like, I get
deported.
That, but that's not the best advice.
As long as
you don't get
listen,
arrested.
No.
Because then you could be
let,
physically
no,
deported.
Let me clarify. Patience is throughout your immigration journey, right? Even if you're physically deported. Even if you're physically
but
deported.
But you mean physically deported, you're back in fucking...
Wherever it is.
We can get you back.
We can get you back. So there,
how are we
getting
you back?
But that's
you back all the time.
Listen.
My mind
can,
is blown right now.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Immigration is a game of patience.
Wait, how we get you back?
There's ways to get you back.
Is that another
there
podcast?
Are waivers.
There's another podcast.
About waivers today. We'll
we didn't
about
even go there, but we can get you back.
You're so
and if you have patience, your day will come. That one day you're going to have that green card in your hand. And one day you're going to be a citizen and have that naturalization. And all you're going to have left from immigration is a story to tell, which is the best part.
And that is a very hopeful way.
I was
to
like,
end
this
up.
Is a very idealistic Pollyanna ending.
It's
if I've
true
heard
though,
one.
Because it's true. We wait it out. Like you wait. The strategy in immigration is always to wait it out. Like if you're a TPS recipient, temporary protected status, or you're a DACA recipient on DACA, that's a temporary status. It's renewable. Just keep renewing it until shit hits the fan and something else comes your way. Because
yeah.
it will. Something
it will.
Else will come your
it
way.
Will.
I don't know if it's going to be on this president or the next president or the other president. It might be tomorrow or it might be in 20 years. I don't know, but it will change. Because if there's the one constant in immigration law is that it's not constant. It's constantly changing.
And in the meantime, we hope you find love.
And in that, we wish love
to
everybody. You know, Jerry Springer, if you ever watched Jerry Springer, he used to end his show with the same, which I always thought was hilarious, because they beat the shit out of each other, and then he'd end with the same tagline at the end of every show, which is, take care of yourself and each other. You know?
Oh, wow. You need a line like that for this show. For sure.
But anyways, Juju, thank you so much
my
for
pleasure.
Coming today.
I'll be coming back again, I'm sure.
I'm sure, because Leslie needs to learn about all kinds of shit.
What is
over
that snake face?
Because
there's so much Leslie has left to learn. So
there's a lot to learn in immigration.
I love this topic because we've had other guests that could talk her talk, but I think you're the first guest that could talk my talk.
It's a competition.
I like
it.
Hear about TPS next time or
oh,
whatever
we
the fuck
TPS.
That is.
We didn't even talk about Venezuelans.
We didn't even talk about how parole and TPS has changed.
Oh yeah.
What?
TPS,
I'll leave you guessing.
Yeah.
That's 1102. I don't know.
1102.
I just learned parole. So.
All right. And with that, this has been Law Show You Should Know. Thank you for watching and listening, and we will see you again next week.